Well, today, of course, being the 4th of July, I'm not going to keep you a very long time today. I got a message. Someone asked me how long you're going to preach today. I said, I got a message ready for 45 minutes, so I got a 15-minute message. So we'll see exactly where this falls in between, but you guys know I'll be respectful of your time. Just stay with me for a few minutes here. I want to talk to you about today on the 4th of July, the thought of courage. How many know it takes courage to fight for what you believe in? It takes courage to stand up for what's right. And today we think of courage, and there's so many things that come to our mind when we think of the word courage. We think of a soldier standing in a foxhole, defending his ground, defending his country, defending freedom, defending what he's assigned to do. We think of those who are on the battlefield. But for many of us here, courage goes beyond the battlefield and goes beyond soldiers. Some of you today, just to be here at church today, took some courage. You were nervous about walking in the church because you haven't been in church in a long time. And maybe courage, it took courage to be here. For some of you today, it took courage for you to allow your teenagers to drive you to church. For some of you men here today, maybe it takes courage to tell your wife, no, she can't buy that when she really wants to buy something. And you know, you better be careful what you say. It takes courage. It takes courage in many areas of our life to live. And today, I want to talk to you about spiritual courage. The definition of courage is defined in the dictionary as the ability to do something that frightens one. The ability to do something that frightens one. So we're going to look at this word courage today, and we're going to look at it and talk about what does courage really look like. And we're going to be reading today out of Acts chapter 4. So you can just stay right there in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to be looking at the story there about the disciples in Acts chapter 4 when they stepped up and showed some great courage. Let's look at this verse 1 through 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who had heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled about 5,000 men. This is not counting women and children. And so we see the upper room experience happening with the Holy Spirit's poured out to Peter, seeing 3,000 people saved, and now the church is growing daily, and around 5,000 men, that's not including women or children, are now coming to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They're realizing that Jesus was rose from the dead, he sent out his Holy Spirit, and the gospel message is being birthed out and happening. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests were very much against this thought, very much against anything being taught that there's a way to salvation except for what they had taught through the law. That there was a process you went through, and it was only for the Jews, and the Gentiles couldn't receive it because the Gentiles were a bunch of stinking old pigs, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some things never change, does it? Battle of war of the nations and a race of people, and they thought that this was only for us. And so you're preaching that the gospel message is for everyone? I mean, these guys were really up in arms about this, and they were very upset to the point where they had disciples arrested. And not much has really changed today, is it, really? You think about it. Not much has really changed today. A lot of things happen. People today are still upset that Jesus is being preached in America. How many know that when Jesus is being talked about in America, it ruffles some feathers? People still today have a hard time with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There's still a lot of people today who are fighting. I mean, there's people today who are taking out billboards across our nation who are taking out the thought, the phrase in our Pledge of Allegiance under God. One nation, under God. They're skipping that out, and they're putting the Pledge of Allegiance up on billboards with that phrase, under God, pulled away from it. That's why we put it on the sign this week. I was so perturbed, man. I was ready to put it on the sign. So you know me. I don't put a lot of things on the sign. I like for our churches to be inviting. But some reason today, this is fit for this weekend, that we are still one nation under God. And there's courage that comes, and when you begin to say that, it ruffles people's feathers. And so what does courage look like today? Well, first of all, we realize that courage, number one, it challenges the status quo, that people just don't like it when you speak on the name of Jesus. Be careful. Somebody might be offended. Be careful. Somebody might take you the wrong way. And you know what? It's okay if they get offended. It's all right if they get offended, because they're not getting offended at me. They're getting offended at the message of Jesus Christ. And how many know that his message will hit you right in the face? Yes, it's a message of love and acceptance and forgiveness. But it's also a message that says you and I need a Savior. And we are not all right just the way we are. And we can't do it by ourselves. It's a message that challenges to the core of who we are. And it takes courage to stand up. And when you stand up for the right thing of Jesus Christ, it challenges the status quo. The New Testament church was formed in the upper room. As we see them hiding there, and they were praying what to do next. Jesus has gone away, and they're there, and the Holy Spirit's poured out in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they go out, and everybody's, what's going on? What's happening here? And are they drunk? And Peter's like, no, man, these people aren't drunk. It's too early in the morning for that. You know they're not drunk. And he begins to talk about, this is the Spirit of God, which is prophesied. We be poured out, man. And these people are not drunk, but they're full of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Peter stands up, and 3,000 people give their life to Christ. And in that, they started meeting in the homes. They started selling, giving to the poor and helping each other out and breaking bread daily and fellowshipping from home to home. And the church is being added to daily. People are coming and being baptized. I mean, you talk about revival. Just the courage of people standing up and coming against tradition. Now, today, we don't even understand this kind of courage because we live in a nation where it's free to do that. But you got to realize there was no freedom in this time to do that. Either you followed the law or you were in trouble. Either you follow the law or you're put in jail. That's what was happening here. They were thrown in jail because all these believers were accepting the message that Jesus Christ is the way. And so when it happens that Jesus Christ is preached, it challenges the status quo. They were proclaiming what God had done in the face of tradition. And I thought about this and I wrote this quote down. It says, I will live my life in a way that disturbs the comfortable. I will live my life in a way that disturbs the comfortable. Or I will be so disturbed that I attempt to stop the courageous. One or the other. Either I live my life in a way that makes the comfortable man feeling uncomfortable, or I'll be so much set in my ways that I'll be disturbed and try to stop the courageous. Because the message of Jesus Christ will and shall be preached. The message of the cross shall be carried on. And it takes courage to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, today, I believe that you still are the founding thread and the foundation of our great nation. And if we ever turn our back upon you, our nation's in a great big trouble. You think we're in trouble now. You wait until we ever allow the name of Jesus to be taken out. God's the foundation of salvation be taken out of our great country. You make sure you do everything you can to keep that to the forefront. And we know this, that God today is looking for those who have courage. Let's pick up the story in Acts chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 7. Let's look at it. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power and whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Look at Peter. Let me clearly state to all of you, all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Look what he says, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stones that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Look what the response was. The members of the council were so amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right next to them, among them, there was nothing the council could say. Why were they amazed at Peter's boldness? Because just a few days earlier, you could find Peter hiding out in the garden like this. A little servant girl comes to him and says, "Aren't you one of the disciples?" "No, I never knew him." He's hiding from a servant girl. He's hiding in the garden, denying that he ever knew Christ. Didn't have a backbone. To a few days later, being filled with the Holy Spirit, now standing up with boldness. And I just love his response. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I love it when people get put in their place in the Bible. This is just great. And, we get enough put in their place as Christians. God, Jesus is always challenging us. But I like it when the Christians stand up and put people in place. And this is what it says, the boast of Peter. He says, "Listen, I healed them through the power of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, who you put to death, but God raised from the dead." I love that statement. You're the one that killed them, but you couldn't keep a good man down. How many know you couldn't keep my Savior down? God raised him from the dead. It's now, listen, I love that statement because there was a boldness about that. He looked at him straight in the eye. You're the one that killed him. You thought you were killing off what God had intended, but you can't stop what God's going to do. That's what he's saying. You can't stop what God's got planned. You can't stop the plan of salvation because God has got a plan. And he stood up with boldness and courage and stood right before those guys who had all the kinds of degrees. They'd been studying law. They had the nice hats to go with it. Everybody wanted the hat. You couldn't get those at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm just telling you right now, you couldn't get those. But you got these hats through years and years of studying the law. And when you could quote the law and you could study the law for years, and finally you became, all right, you got your robe and you got your matching hat. You were somebody. And so for a guy to come in, he was just an old stinking fisherman. He'd been running the hillside with Jesus, to come in and say, "You try to kill off what God had planned, but God is still bigger than who you are. God's still bigger than your plan. And this message shall be preached." There was a courage that rose in him. There was a courage to happen. And I wonder how many of us today realize this thought about courage. Let me give you this thought about courage. Number two, it's given, not attained. The courage is given through the Holy Spirit. It's not just attained. You just don't go out and attain courage. But I believe when we see Scripture that God is giving courage to those who want to receive it. That God is looking for courage to give to you. "Well, Pastor, I can never stand up for, I'm just afraid." Well, listen today, you don't have to be afraid. God wants to give you courage. God wants to give you the courage that you need to stand up for when the time's right, that you can still speak the name of Jesus Christ. Joshua, we find where Joshua, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." He was speaking to Joshua. "Joshua, be strong and courageous." I believe that more than just saying to Joshua, "Joshua, I want you to be a man of courage," I believe that when God was speaking that, he was imparting something to him. This is my belief. I believe that when he was speaking this, that he was imparting courage. "Joshua, be strong and have good courage." He spoke to him just as he spoke to Moses on the backside of a desert. He was speaking to Joshua. "Joshua, it's your turn to lead. Stand up. Be strong and be courageous." He was imparting in him a spirit of courage. Today, I believe that God wants to talk to you and I and speak into us to be strong and be courageous. That God wants a spirit of courage to be spoken into your life. I don't just accept it. No, I allow God to speak it into me. There is a spirit of impartation that God is wanting to give you courage. I can tell you, I can remember those times when God spoke courage into my life. It wasn't just something I ascertained. It was something I remember happening, a transformation where I just felt the boldness of the Holy Spirit empower me to say something I would never say on my own, to do something I could never do on my own, to pray a prayer I could never do. I remember these times in my life, and it was the Holy Spirit and God saying, "Be strong, be courageous." God speaks it into us. The council of Sanhedrin had sensed the courage from the disciples. Because why? It says, because they had been with who? Jesus. It says they recognized him. They had been with Jesus, and there was a courage there. See, there is something that happens when you're with Jesus. There's a courage that God wants to give you. It's not that these men had been with Jesus, that they had courage. Because Peter had been with courage. He had been with Jesus all along, but he still yet he didn't have courage when he denied Christ three times. Remember that story? He didn't have courage then, but he'd been with Jesus. So it was the fact that they had been with Jesus. What had changed? Jesus was with Peter. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between being with Jesus and allow Jesus to be with you. He had received an impartation of the Holy Spirit. God was with him. God was leading him. God was directing him. God was with him 24/7. He didn't have to go out and find courage. He had courage in him. And so when he needed that courage of the Holy Spirit raised that within him, and he spoke out things as though he was a scholar. He spoke out things though he had command of the Scripture. Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit in him. Had he been formally trained? Had he been to Bible school? No. But he had a boldness of the Holy Spirit that rose within him and said, say this, say that. It's just directing every thought, everything he said. Not that he had been with Jesus, but Jesus now was with him. And see, there's a difference. Many times we come in thinking, I was at church this week, so I'm good. They were singing my song. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Come on. They were singing my song. I feel good. I've been with Jesus. And we leave here feeling good. And we get out tomorrow, and the first time that something comes across our path at work that wants to ruffle your feathers, how many know you just lose all your victory, man. You lose everything you felt at church the next day. But how many know when you'll come in and say, I'm not here just to be with Jesus. I'm here because Jesus is in me. His Holy Spirit is in me. I am the what? I am the new temple. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, I am allowing your presence to saturate me. God, I am allowing your spirit to be with me. God, I am with you at all times. God, I'm walking with you. God, I'm listening to you. God, I'm following your direction. And his spirit is with me. I have courage. Yeah, this person spoke against me at work today. But you know what? It's okay. Because God has given me courage to do the right thing. I can hold my tongue. Or I can stand up for what's right. There's a new courage that God gives you. My attitude is not going to change today just because I'm not here at church on Sunday. But my attitude is, God, you're with me. God, you're changing the way I think. God, you're changing the way I talk. God, you're changing the way I act. I want God to be with me. I don't want to just be with him on Sunday mornings. But we've got to learn it's a walk, a daily walk with Jesus that brings courage. It's given to us. It's spoken to us. He spoke to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for as I was with Moses, shall I be with you. David spoke to his son Solomon when he was building the temple and said, Solomon, be strong and be courageous, for the Lord your God is what? He is with you. The disciples were terrified in the boat in the middle of the storm, and Jesus came walking to them on water, and he looked at them and said, hey, don't be concerned. I bring you courage. I mean, God brings courage through our lives. God wants you to have a courage that you could not obtain any other way. And it only comes when you're with God. Allow him to speak that to you today. He's speaking to people at Destiny Church today that are in this church service. He's saying, be strong, be courageous, have courage. Yes, you can face what's facing you tomorrow. Yes, you can handle that problem in your home. Yes, you can handle this problem in your finances. Yes, you can handle this. Be strong. Be courageous. For I am God with you. I am with you. He's giving you courage. He's speaking courage to your life. Too many Christians let their fear cripple them from courage. They allow their fear to cripple their courage when God wants to give you courage that will cripple your fear. Too many of us allow our fear to cripple our courage when it's just the reverse. God wants your courage to cripple your fear. God has given us a spirit of courage. Courage number three confuses the comfortable. Confuses the comfortable. Let's go back one slide, guys, to Acts chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at this verse. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? They called him back in. All right, this is all happening. And this is what the Sadducees are saying to him. All right, we command you never again to speak in the name of Jesus or to teach. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? I mean, don't you love the boldness here, Peter? I just love this. This just really gets me. I just love this. They're telling them, you know, these guys in their funny hats and robes have been educated all their life on the law. All right, you can never again speak on Jesus. And he's like, do you want us to obey you? Or do you want us to obey Jesus? We're going to obey God. That's what they're saying. You want us to, God wants us, you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot. Look what he says. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. And number three, it confuses the comfortable. We see where when you have courage, it confuses those who are comfortable in their life. You ever notice when you start standing up for the right things, the people around you get uncomfortable? Isn't it happen? I mean, you start standing up for the right things, well, this is not the way you should be done. When you stand up for what is right, when you stand up, it takes courage. Whether it's standing up for just something plain, it's black and white. This is the right way to do it. This is the wrong way to do it. We're going to stand up for the right thing. My job says that I'm to do this with an honest, with integrity. I'm going to do the right thing. Well, if we do this, we'll all get in trouble because we're all doing the wrong thing. I was asked to do a job, and I cannot morally do it unless I do it right. It takes courage to stand up when people around you, you're going to get us all in trouble. No, you stand up and make the right decision, and God will honor you. I remember one time I had a young man come to me whose bosses were doing some things he know they shouldn't be doing behind closed doors. And so he's like, what do I do? Because I can't work here because I know that I'm breaking the law. And so he said, well, you just need to go to the owner of the company and let them know, hey, this is what's going on, and I can't work in this environment. And I'm like, God's gonna honor your faithfulness. God's going to honor you making the right stand. And so this young man goes, and he goes to the owner's company, to the CEO, and he lets him know what's going on. You know what happened to this young man? He got fired. He got fired. Of course, the boss spun him around, and he ended up getting fired. He looked like the bad guy. How many know that doesn't always seem fair, does it? It doesn't seem fair. This young man would get fired for doing the right thing. Of course, his boss took it, and they all came against him and said he was doing the wrong thing, and they just turned it all the way against him. But it was a matter of a week and a half. That young man had a new job making twice what he was making in the old job. You talk about God honoring the right decision. God honors when we have courage to do what's right. God honors when we step up and have courage to do the right thing. It'll confuse those who are comfortable. Look what Acts 4:23 says in our last scripture we'll read here. 29. Let's pick up verse 29. And now the Lord, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. I love this. This is what they're crying out. They've gone back and they're letting the New Testament church say, this is what happened to us. They threatened us. We cannot stand up with courage. And look what they said here. This is what they're praying. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Wow. I mean, how many know that when things happen, the ground can shake? I'm telling you, when God wants to move, things can shake in your life. When you stand up with courage, things shake. You want to be a mover and a shaker? Some of you have had that prayer. I want to be a mover and a shaker. Let me tell you, when you follow after God and do the right thing with courage, you become a mover and a shaker because God is going to begin to shake the things that you touch. He's going to give you favor where you walk. He's going to give you favor where you talk. He's going to give you favor on your job. He's going to give you favor in your home. God will do things that will happen to those who stand up and say, I'm going to make the right decision. It just happens. It happens. And they pray this prayer, God, allow us to be servants who have great boldness, who have great courage. That's what they're saying. God, give us great courage. And I pray that prayer today on this Independence Day that at Destiny Church that we would have people who say this one prayer, God, give us great courage. God, give us great boldness that we can proclaim the truth of your gospel, that we would not be afraid to say this is the right way, this is the wrong way. Not that we're going around. Listen, I don't expect you to be at the church out here with the sign, stand at the corner of 7th and Range Line, yelling at people, you're going to hell, okay? You know what I'm talking about. We've seen those people out there. I always pull up there at the light, roll my wife's window down and say, she needs Jesus, and they come running. She's like, he's hitting me. Yo, go, go, go. And I got the window on lock, and she can't raise it up. It's great. Okay, I just love it. And I'm yelling, she's a heathen. She needs Jesus. And they just attack her, you know. That's not boldness. That can be stupidity, okay? All right? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, though, is you know that wherever we go, that we have the courage to stand up for what's right. We have the courage to speak that God is still alive and God still has a standard and God still expects things out of us that are above and beyond. That God still has a right and has a wrong. And I don't go and hitting somebody in the head, but I can still stand up with courage and say, God's way is still the right way. We are still one nation under God. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that we are one nation under God, and may we never lose the courage to speak that out. And God, may the church be your voice piece. May the church, God, continue to be your mouth when it comes to speaking out courage to this great nation. Just as you gave your disciples great courage, God, we ask that you give us courage. Every head bowed here today, I'm going to ask people who are here, maybe you don't have the courage before, but today God's given you courage to say, you know what? I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today I need to make things right. Pastors, you're speaking about courage. I need to stand up and I just need to confess my sin to Jesus. And I need to ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to make sure heaven's my home and I want to get my heart right with God today. And I want to have the courage to do that today. Before we go any further today, I will not embarrass you at all. No one's looking around but me. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today. Can you just raise your hand where you're at so I can see that and give you that chance and opportunity? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these three today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these four today and say, I'm ready to make a decision today to follow after Jesus Christ. I'm ready today to make that decision. God's given me courage today, and I'm ready today. I'm tired of trying to do this thing on my own, but I want this courage that comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody else today that you're ready to give your heart to God? Well, today we had four people who raised their hands, and so I want us all today to say this prayer. We're going to all repeat it, especially those who raised their hands. I want you to repeat it from your heart. The rest of us are going to say this prayer with you. Let's say it. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the cross of Calvary. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. Those of you who raised your hand today, we got a special packet in the back. It's got a free Bible, some other material to tell you what to do next. If you don't have a home church, you need to be involved in a home church. We welcome you here, have you here at Destiny Church. We'd love to be friends with you and support you. You need people around you. You need to be in church and find a church family. So today, it's very important to get connected. So stop by and receive one of those free gifts from us today. The rest of us, I want us all to stand today. Can we all stand? How many today? Say, Pastor, I want God to give me this kind of courage. I want to pray the same prayer that the disciples prayed, that God would give me boldness, man, that wherever I'm at, I can just speak God's love, man, in a real and practical way. Anybody here today say, that's me? Prayer of your heart? Yeah. What a great day today to say, I want this courage. Father, right now, let's just lift our hands to Him. If you're comfortable doing this, can we just lift our hands to Him one more time? God, today as our hands are raised as a sign of surrender to you, God, I pray today that, God, you give people courage. The courage, God, to stand up for the right things. The courage to speak the right things. God, we are still one nation under God. And God, I pray today that we could never back away from that thing. We would never back away from that statement. That God, we would never back away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, just as the disciples prayed that prayer, God, I pray that you give us courage, give us boldness, God, that we can proclaim your name wherever we're at, whether it be our job in the lunchroom, whether it be at the ball field, whether it be at the school, wherever it is, God, in our neighborhood, we may proclaim that Jesus Christ is still Lord of my life. And God, I pray right now that you would allow courageous people, full of your Holy Spirit, God, to rise up today, God, and walk in that boldness of your Holy Spirit. God, we can be courageous people, full of courage, God, not allowing society to dictate our relationship with you, but God, may our relationship with you dictate how society moves. They look at us, God, they know there's something more. And God, we do not abandon your name. We do not abandon. May this country continue, God, to proclaim with courage and boldness that we are one nation under God. That in God, we still trust. And Father, we thank you today, and we give you praise, and we say together, amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand next to you today. You guys have a safe holiday weekend. God bless you. We'll see you soon.